who hasn't repeatedly said to her children, wash your hands? Those mothers want their children to stay healthy because those hands could have been who knows where. So washing hands is proactive. You do it to stay healthy. And so when you hear the word hygiene, you associate that with habits that promote health and prevent disease. And the English word hygiene comes from the Greek word hygienao, which is the word God uses in our text as the primary reason for installing elders in the congregation. It's the sound doctrine. So in the congregation, the God's concern is not for the congregation's physical health, but far more importantly, he's concerned for its spiritual health. God wants his people to live in the world. You know, we do live in the world. He wants his people to not become infected, so to say, with the world's harmful, deadly, unbiblical worldviews. And what is the hygiene needed to stay spiritually healthy, spiritually wholesome? That is, to live life with the Christian worldview, the life that is anchored in Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. What is needed? What is needed to live life in this present age as the comforted, assured, set-apart people who live godly lives, the purpose for which Christ redeemed us, the spiritual hygiene that's needed is sound doctrine. Sound doctrine taught and applied to the congregation by the encouraging, admonishing, rebuking, if necessary, the shepherding oversight by its officers. Now, in our reading from Titus 1 and 2, the responsibility for keeping the congregation healthy, again, by means of sound doctrine, that's primarily given to the minister and the elders. Now, in Titus, elders implies both teaching elders, ministers, and ruling elders. However, we know there's also the office of deacon. And since a deacon's calling involves the nurturing of biblical stewardship, so that the ministry of the gospel and the biblical charity of the church are provided for, well, how does a deacon nurture? By applying sound Christian doctrine, by applying the Christian worldview so that people have a right view of how they should use the material things God has given them to promote cheerful giving. And deacons, as well as elders, are in the Bible called to rule their households well. And does that not require sound doctrine? And really, when you think about it, in light of other scriptures, are not all family men, all the men in the congregation, don't they have a responsibility to lead their families in godly living? And does that not require that they, too, hold firm to the doctrines of the Christian faith? And further, does not God, as we read in Titus, give women as well the responsibility to live by a Christian worldview? They're to be reverent in behavior. They're to be teaching what is good, training younger women to love their husbands and their children. And so women, too, to be able to fulfill that role, need to hold firm to sound doctrine. So sound doctrine is the preventative, it's the antidote, and the treatment applied to keep the congregation from becoming infected with non-Christian, dangerous worldviews. Because those worldviews, they yield uncontrolled lives. They yield lives where you do not know how to properly respond to the circumstances of your life. Uncontrolled lives, ungodly lives. Now, in the history of the church, as most of you probably know, the word orthodoxy is often used as a synonym for sound doctrine. Orthodox doctrine is sound doctrine. And in that sense, the creeds of the church, as they are faithful summaries of the doctrines taught by God's word, they're useful standards for orthodoxy. That is, they set forth what is conforming to the Christian faith. This is what a Christian should believe. On the basis of this, they should live their lives. That's sound doctrine, such as the Apostles' Creed that we recited, like the Heidelberg Catechism, the Belgian Confession of Faith, to name a few. Sound doctrine shapes your and my worldview. Worldviews that do not conform to the Christian faith are worldviews that congregations of the Lord are to reject outright, to not allow them to infect our thinking and then our behavior with their dangerous untruth. So the minister, the elders, and the deacons have the primary responsibility to see to it that the congregation, for the sake of its health and well-being, holds firmly to sound doctrine. Now, you know, we talk about physical hygiene. The world does that as well. We talk about preventative bodily health. And if you start looking at that, you see there's lots of differing professional opinions regarding the best way to stay healthy. You know, you hear all the time, it's something new comes up all the time, differing combinations of diets and exercises and therapies are touted as the way to a healthful body. Now, the problem is that there's no standard for measuring true health, because all of our physical bodies are all afflicted with the curse of sin. All of us at every age have bodies that are in the process of dying because of Adam's sin. We can't go back and look at Adam and Eve before sin to see the standard of true health. So physical health and the hygiene to have it is not an absolute known. It's a reality. But now, what about spiritual health and the hygiene needed to have it and to keep it, to maintain it? When Paul speaks of sound or healthful doctrine and sound or healthful faith, that soundness is measured against the standard of perfect soundness. See, unlike physical health, where the average measurements of certain physical factors are taken as the norm, that's, well, you fit within that norm, so you're healthy. When we're talking about physical health, when we're talking about spiritual health, rather, that is not determined by comparing it to the average of all the doctrines that float around out in the world. Sound doctrine, as Paul refers to it, is not an elusive term, nor is it open to differing opinions. Doctrine is determined to be sound if it is determined, it's determined to be sound when it meets the absolute standard, which is God's holy word. That's sound doctrine. The scriptures, to which nothing has been added, to which nothing has been taken away. It's doctrines gleaned by interpreting scripture with scripture. And so, beloved, God's word, unlike our bodies, is perfect, totally unaffected by sin, because it was breathed out by the sinless, perfect God. And he preserves it for all generations as his unchanging, absolute word. That's the standard for spiritual health. Are you holding firm to the word of God? Then you are healthy spiritually. Then you are whole spiritually. Then you have life eternal. You and I today have the same standard for soundness of doctrine and faith as did Adam and Eve before there was any sin in the creation. They had God's trustworthy word spoken to them by God. And the Apostle Paul had the same God's trustworthy word revealed to him by God in the person of Christ Jesus. And we today are most privileged because we have the same God's trustworthy word spoken to us by the Son, by means of the completed scriptures, the 66 books of the Bible. And so the standard for judging soundness, sound doctrine, Christian worldview, the standard for judging that, the standard for judging whether a worldview is a sound worldview, whether it's the Christian worldview, has always been and must always be the word of the unchanging God. And our confessions are a very helpful, systematic summary of the doctrines of God's word. So, how does a man come to have the ability by which he can teach and defend sound doctrine so the whole congregation's faith may be healthy? Now again, it's not just church officers that are given the calling to live by and to teach sound doctrine. Again, it applies, as we've already pointed out, to all professing men and women. We have to hold firm to sound doctrine in order to train up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But as it concerns elders, which is the primary focus of our text, a man who is so able to oversee the doctrinal soundness of the church, again, which determines its health and well-being, is a man who is himself holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught. And more literally translated, our text actually says, he's one who is holding fast according to the teaching. Holding fast to the teaching. The teaching is the Holy Scriptures. The teaching is that which Timothy, as a teaching elder in the Church of Jesus Christ, was called by Paul to guard. In other words, a man is not fit for church leadership if he holds to doctrines at variance with the orthodoxy, the confessions of Christ's church. And such a man who is fit for office demonstrates his perseverance in sound doctrine, no matter which way the winds of doctrine may blow all around in the world. He perseveres in making his stand upon sound doctrine, and he perseveres in teaching it and modeling it by his rooted in sound doctrine life. And so a man who is called to be an elder, and that applies to deacons as well, he holds fast to sound doctrine even when unsound doctrine becomes popular, becomes even accepted within the church, and even within churches that profess Jesus Christ. And I just want to highlight for you how much unsound doctrine has in fact infected even Christians who consider their faith important and who attend church regularly. I just read the other day a study released by the Barna Group. They do a lot of study of Christianity and faith. And get this, I mean, this was shocking to me, really, and it should be to all of us, that people who take their Christian faith seriously, the study found that only 17% of this group actually has a biblical worldview. Only 17% of professing Christians have a biblical worldview. Now listen to this, just a couple other things, just to let you know what's out there and what we have to guard against. Almost 3 in 10 of these serious Christians strongly agree that all people pray to the same God. You know what that's saying? It's saying there's a generic God, the generic God of all religions. That's quite in contrast to orthodoxy. We read this morning, you can only come to the Father through Jesus Christ. And they also, 3 in 10, also strongly agree that, get this, meaning and purpose comes from being one with all that is. That's Buddhism. That's not Christianity. And professing Christians buy into this. 19% strongly agree that no one can know for certain what meaning and purpose there is to life. And 23% strongly agree that what is right or wrong depends on what an individual believes. What this tells us, beloved, is that a lot of professing Christians are drifting away from sound doctrine. And maybe they never got sound doctrine where they were attending church. They're drifting away from the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints, as Jude says, drifting away to a worldview that in essence denies that Christ Jesus of Scripture, that He is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what they're really denying. Sound doctrine alone provides objective truth in a relativistic world. Provides knowing the God who is. And if you know the God who is, then you have the worldview by which you're able to discern right from wrong, godliness from ungodliness. And it's the sound doctrine that provides meaning and purpose to life, because it's rooted in Christ Jesus. It's sound doctrine that allows you to respond to all of the trials and tribulations and sufferings on this earthly life, not with the uncontrolled ways of the flesh, which is what the world does, which is what we all do, unless we are firmly rooted in sound doctrine in those moments. So we respond rightly with true faith, with actions that flow out of the truth of God's providence, working all things together for our good, and who you are in Jesus Christ. Sound doctrine is what all of us professing Christians need all the time, to persevere in it, to hold fast to it, so that we may live the healthy, comforted, assured, self-controlled life that flows out of holding fast to sound doctrine, the Christian worldview. And for the sake of the congregation's spiritual health, God has provided church officers and calls men and equips men to shepherd the congregation's welfare through these offices. Now listen again to this qualification from verse 9. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may by sound doctrine both exhort and convict those who contradict. Well, those who contradict are those who have bought into a non-Christian worldview. To contradict the teachings of Scripture, to contradict our creeds, you either have to not been taught the doctrine, or you do not believe the doctrine. That means you don't believe the Word of God to be the truth, or you are refusing to submit to it. So ignorance of the truth, false presuppositions, that is what you think before you think, and or rebelling against God and His Word, those are the foundations for a non-Christian, eternally dangerous worldview. So the minister, the elders, and the deacons, in their role, are to shepherd the congregation that neither ignorance nor false presuppositions nor rebellion against God are allowed to characterize the congregation. Now we have to realize that there's always, as we are the church yet on earth, there's always weaknesses in how all of us hold to the Christian worldview. But we ought to be characterized by striving to not only know the sound doctrine that is its foundation, but we should be characterized as striving to live only by the Christian worldview. And so the officers especially, but all of us professing Christians, men and women, ought to never let go of our hold on the way, the truth, and the life, which is Christ Jesus. Even when our holding on to sound doctrine causes personal or family hardship, even when it means having to admonish or even, yes, lovingly, but nevertheless at times sharply rebuke family members and friends or delinquent congregational members. See, you have to know sound doctrine to point out the error of those who contradict. It's very interesting in this text that speaking about soundness in the faith. See, the unsoundness that must be rebuked and corrected by elders, that's not those outside the church. To correct them, that's more a matter of evangelism and apologetics. But the concern here is for those who have professed the Christian faith, are members of the church, but are being influenced by other worldviews. Because look, in our reading from Titus 1, the Judaizers within the Christian church are the ones who are contradicting sound doctrine. Well, the Judaized, they have been Jews who have become Christians, but are teaching what's referred to as Jewish fables. They're teaching, rather than Christian orthodoxy, they're teaching things that have to do with the shadows and types of Christ, which have been perverted by the Pharisees, so now they're teaching a works righteousness by the commandments of men. That's not Christian orthodoxy. That's not of the Christian faith. They wanted people to continue to be circumcised, even as they were in the Christian church. And what does Paul say about these kind of people who don't hold to Christian doctrine? And, you know, you want to read the difference between Christian doctrine and Judaism, read Galatians. But he says here in Titus, these people, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him. See, their worldview was not Christian, because it was rooted in the Judaistic doctrine of righteousness through the keeping of the law. And it wasn't even the Mosaic law, it was the law as the Pharisees defined it. And that's a denial of Christ and his righteousness imputed by faith as the only way to be righteous before God. So anyone in the congregation that buys into a worldview of you can be right with God based on your own works, that would be a danger to the health of a Christian congregation. Sound doctrine applied yields a godly life, not to earn salvation, but in thankfulness for the salvation that sound doctrine teaches, the salvation that is on the basis of Christ's, never your own merits. So the installed elders, by their exhortation, by convicting those who are found to contradict, and we've had that happen in churches in our day, and by even excluding those who refuse to amend their doctrine, their contradicting doctrine, these elders are the instruments of God in keeping the congregation sound in the faith. And therefore, God calls you, the members of this congregation, to esteem the elders highly for their labors, for they look out for your souls, as Hebrews teaches us, and you be submissive to them. We should all realize that apart from your and my faith being guarded by preaching and teaching and exhortation and admonishment and encouragement, you know, by people sound in the faith, those called to shepherd you, your faith would become unsound by default. It would become permeated with or syncretic with the deceptive and subverting doctrines that abound out there in the world. That's where we end up. That's where we tend to go. It's evident. We've seen it happen. And we're supposed to be the people God redeemed through Christ so that we live in the world as God's set apart people. So professing Christians who aren't being overseen and kept abiding in sound doctrine, well, they drift into lives more fitting for non-Christian worldviews. Lives that demonstrate a lack of spiritual hygiene. It happens. We know it. See, the epistle of John has words in it that come to mind as we read this. He says, "Let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father." See, this abiding requires holding firm to sound doctrine. Because if you're not abiding in sound doctrine, abiding in the truth, you're not abiding in Christ, who is the truth. Serious stuff. That's why God is concerned, loves the church. That's why he gives to it elders to make sure that sound doctrine is what characterizes the church. Now, in Paul's day, Judaism was probably the most problematic form of not abiding in the doctrines of Christ. And these are doctrines that every sinner had been taught on the way to becoming a professing member of a Christian church. Now, Judaism is not really an issue for us in our day, but as we should all be aware of, there's a whole host of other isms that are an issue in our day. and can affect a congregation as well. Think of it, New Ageism. That's part of being one with all, being all with one. Evolutionism denies God's testimony as the creator. Postmodernism, oh, there is no truth. Arminianism, man is ultimately sovereign over his salvation. Pantheism, that's one with all. God is in everything. Feminism, we know what that has done, led to churches ordaining women into office. Atheism, denying that God even exists. Agnosticism, we can't know anything. All of these things are out there. And all of these things can subvert this congregation too, unless there are, praise the Lord, officers installed who guard the pure doctrines of the gospel, not allowing unorthodoxy to infect the congregation. In Paul's day on the Mediterranean island of Crete, elders had not yet been installed in the church. And they needed to be, as Paul says, because the mouths of those spouting unsound doctrine needed to be stopped. Now, we should all understand that unorthodoxy, that's not just another equally valid opinion. You know, Paul says, how quickly in Galatians do you turn away from the gospel to another gospel, which is not a gospel at all? That's unorthodoxy. It's not a gospel. Unorthodoxy is a lie. And the lies are dangerous to the spiritual welfare of the congregation, to you and I. And so there were teachers in Paul's day, he mentions this in other letters as well, they used the ministry as a way to make money. So what would they teach? Well, they would teach the doctrines that would appeal to their listeners. So hopefully the listeners would pay them more money. Good thing none of that happens in our day. But you should realize that unhealthy, unsound, non-scriptural doctrine is not the power of God onto salvation, nor does any corrupt worldview grant those who hold it any comfort for the trials and tribulations of this earthly life. For your comfort, for your assurance of salvation in Jesus Christ, God has ordained oversight to guard the doctrine he has entrusted to his church. The doctrine which, when taught and when believed and steadfastly applied to life, that grants the joy and the peace of anticipating our blessed hope. As Titus says, the appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's when our faith, our holding fast to sound doctrine, will be vindicated, because then we'll be in glory. Everything we believed will have been realized in its consummation. And we all need to be there. And that's through holding fast to sound doctrine. That's what the officers of the church have the responsibility toward. We all need to hold fast to the Christian worldview, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Only Him. So we have to be clear that we understand the primary function of an elder. There are churches that think that an elder is to be thought of as merely an administrator, elected to have the church operate in an effective, business-like, professional manner, pleasing to the investor, so to say. Not at all. That's not sound doctrine. The leadership of the church is ordained by God for the sake of guarding the pure doctrines of the gospel and shepherding the flock so all the saints persevere in sound doctrine and live by the Christian worldview. So the elders especially, but also the deacons and husbands and fathers, and women as well, will recognize unsound doctrine because they have been taught sound doctrine. You have to have the standard to judge anything against it. So why do we study and learn the Heidelberg Catechism? So that we can learn sound doctrine and discern those unsound doctrines that cannot provide the comfort that only the sound biblical doctrines that we so love, so spelled up our confessions, only they, those sound doctrines, can provide that comfort, that assurance for all of life. And so if we think of all those isms I mentioned a while ago, all of them are in one way or another denying or twisting the essential doctrines of the true faith. Now, the church in history has affirmed over against unsound doctrines, over against heresies, the orthodoxy of the Trinitarian Godhead. They've asserted again that orthodoxy believes that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. They've asserted again, orthodoxy means to believe and hold that God is sovereign, and all the associated doctrines of grace, summarized by Tulip, for instance, they've all been affirmed by the church based on the scriptures, based on sound doctrine. Those confessions are sound doctrine systematized. And the church has also affirmed, especially during the Reformation, that we celebrate the 500th year thereof, the biblical orthodoxy of a visible church ruled by elders having all equal authority within the broader church. And this biblical form of church government that we hold to here because it's holding to sound doctrine contrasts sharply with the unsound doctrines that allows for a hierarchical, like Roman Catholicism, Episcopalianism, or congregational form of church government where people just vote to see how the church will operate. So the eldership is called to ensure that worship also is according to sound doctrine, not as derived from men's desires. That's their priority purpose, sound doctrine taught and applied and persevered in by the congregation. And again, beloved, sound doctrine can be distilled down to this essential teaching of Jesus: I am the way and the truth and the life. Now listen to this. That's the presupposition for the Christian worldview. Before we think about anything, we should first set our minds on this foundation. Christ Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That gives Jesus Christ the focus of all of Scripture. He is the focus of all of Scripture, but it gives him the preeminence in all things. Because what does the biblical doctrine teach us? By him, Jesus Christ, by Christ who became Jesus, all things were created. And all things are for him, and in him all things consist. That's the Christian worldview. And as the church ascribes this preeminence in all things to him, then our worldview will be right. It will indeed be the Christian worldview. And so, beloved, I hope that you're all thankful to God for being joined to a congregation whose doctrine God is preserving in soundness against the perversions that the devil would just love to see infect the body of God's people. Praise God for his faithfulness to you by providing you with church officers who hold fast to sound doctrine, the sound health and wellness and wholeness, nurturing sound doctrine that yields for those who hold to it eternal life, comfort, and assurance, all because those sound doctrines all point to Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. May we all continue to hold fast to sound doctrine. Amen.